Number 13, we're going to begin reading in verse number 42 tonight. And I want to share a thought tonight as I study the Word. And here it is. Preaching is necessary. And I'll show you in the text where that is. And as I wrote that out, I wrote, preaching is necessary. And then the Holy Ghost corrected me. Not all preaching is necessary. Some preaching is of no count. It's of no value because it's not the truth. It's error. It's not the Word of God. It's not thus saith the Word of God. Men, a lot of men give their opinions. That's useless. My opinion tonight is useless. So when I backed up, I wrote this down. Preaching the Word of God is necessary. Preaching the Word of God is necessary. You ever heard somebody have a come apart and come loose and they say, preach on? That ain't preaching. That's just ranting and raving, but preaching the Word of God. And I want to show you where we get this tonight, Acts 13, verse number 42. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, Acts 13, 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Word of God be preached, they'll draw a crowd. Amen? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I thank you that this is a place that we can come to, and we come to worship none other and nobody else but Jesus tonight, Father. Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight that you're on the throne. I thank you that you're in charge. I thank you tonight that nothing goes unless it goes through your hands. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just take these words. I pray you take the Word of God, your Word tonight, and you'd pierce somebody's heart with them tonight. Lord, I pray for the prayer request that's been mentioned all over the house tonight, Father God. I pray for Brother, the ones that's sick, the ones that are hurting, the ones that's lifted up prayer requests, the ones that has called out prayer, the ones that has asked that you touch in a mighty way, the ones that have cancer, Lord, I pray you'd help them, Father. I pray tonight for CJ's family, Father God, as he's left this walk of life, Lord, I pray right now that you'd comfort that family, that you'd give them peace, you'd give them rest, only through the Holy Ghost tonight. Jesus, most holy, precious, thank you. I thank you for this time. Bless the reading of your word. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Preaching the Word of God is necessary tonight. And I get that out of this tonight in verse number 46, where the Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. And Paul preached the Word of God and said it was necessary that the Word of God be preached. But I want to ask you a question tonight. I want you to think about this, and I want you to understand in the text what the Bible says. Why is it such a necessity that the Word of God be preached? Why is it such a necessity when we come to the house of God that we bring an old King James Bible and we open up them leather covers and we preach, thus saith the Word of God? Why don't we just sing the whole time? Why don't we just pray the whole time? Why don't we? Because when we open the Word of God, that is God Himself. Himself, that is God Almighty, breathed into the Scripture, coming out before us. And when we read that text and we read that Scripture, we see that the Word of God It'll do some things in a people's life. And tonight, number one, I want you to know it's a necessity, number one. And we see in verse number 42, because the Word of God will change people. It'll change people in their life. And look what he said in verse number 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They had just come out of the synagogues. They had heard the Ten Commandments. They had heard the Word of God. They had heard prayer. Hey, but it didn't do them enough. What did they want to hear? They wanted to hear about the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say tonight that that Word of God, when them Gentiles come out, hey, the Jews didn't think the Gentiles should be saved. They didn't think they would be saved. They thought that they was a bunch of half-breeds, a bunch of no-goods. Hey, but you know what? Tonight, the grace of God, it'll find any man, woman, boy, or girl right where they're at. It'll save their soul. It'll change their life, and it'll make them new. You say, what does the Word of God do when it's preached to people? Number one, tonight it'll draw a person. It'll draw a person in. It'll get them right where they need to be when they read that old sacred book and they get into that halls of Scripture and they understand, thus saith the Word of God. I see, number one, that it'll draw a person when it changes them. But I see, number two, that it'll deliver a person from death unto life. Not only will it draw you, but it'll deliver you. The Word of God will not leave you where it found you. Hey, can I say tonight, when you read that Word of God and you study that book, it'll change you from the inside out. When I first got saved, there wasn't a whole lot changed on the outside. I can tell you that right now. Hey, but my inside had changed. My heart, my mind, my soul, everything about me had got changed and it had got new. And you say, preacher, why did the Word of God do that? It changed my old ways. It changed my old habits. It saved me from my sin. It delivered me and it changed me. And you say, preacher, what does that do tonight? It'll draw a person and it'll deliver a person. And look with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, talking about the Word of God and the necessity of preaching it and how it'll change a person's life. I ask you tonight, have you ever been changed by the Word of God tonight? Hey, when you hear that blessed old book and it gets down into the heart and the soul and the marrow of that person, here's what the Bible says, that the Word of God, it'll change people when it's preached unto them. Tonight the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, I thank God tonight that it don't say no preacher is quick tonight. Amen. There's not a preacher alive good enough to preach you under Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction doesn't come from a preacher. It comes from, thus saith the Word of God. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? Hey, and that's what a lot of churches is missing. That old Holy Ghost conviction that gets down where it needs to be. And look what the Bible says when it changes a person here in verse number 12, for the Word of God is quick. What will it do? It'll come upon you. You can be sitting there minding your own business, doing your own thing, and it'll come upon you quick. For the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. You say, preacher, what will it do? It'll change a person. Because it's quick, it's powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know why the Word of God works? Do you know why it does? It's because it's God-breathed. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And it gets to all three places of a man this afternoon. Have you ever heard a song and it make a tear run down your face? That's song will get to your mind and it might get to your heart, but it doesn't get to your soul. You know what it does tonight? The Word of God, it gets to all three things that you are tonight. You're made up of three things tonight. One of them is soul tonight. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you've got a soul, and that soul's going to spend eternity somewhere. And the only way that it won't spend eternity in a devil's hell is that it's been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That Word of God's got in there and it's got quick and it's got powerful and it's got sharper than any two-edged sword tonight. I see you're made up of three parts and all three is in verse number 12. Look what he says, that the two-edged sword piercing even the dividing of soul, number one, the soul. The Word of God will get to your soul when nothing else can. Amen. I promise you, the Word of God will do what nothing else can. It'll get down to the soul. But look here, it don't only stop at the soul, it gets down to the spirit. Do you know when you got saved what got you reunited back with God? It wasn't your soul that got reunited back. It was your spirit that got you reunited back. It was the spirit that was broken in the Garden of Eden. It was the spirit of man that lost fellowship with God. It was the spirit. That's why he said it's the spirit that quickeneth.
And what did he do when he saved you? He quickened that spirit. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But the word of God, when it came in, it quickened you. It gave you power. And it raised you up to a new life. He said, number one, it'll get to the soul. And it'll get to the spirit. Everybody in this room has a spirit. Amen? Hey, we all have a spirit. Number one, we have a soul. Number two, we have a spirit. And I see the word of God, it changes, number one, your soul. It changes your spirit. But I see number three tonight, here's what it says. It gets it down into the body. The word of God gets down into the body. You don't believe? Let me give you this. You can take the word of God and somebody's sick and you speak that word over them. You can talk that word over them. You can pray that word over them. You can take that Bible and put it on that person. And I've seen this. I'm no doctor. I'm no scholar. I'm no nothing. But I do know this tonight, that the word of God works. Hey, you can take somebody that's down and out, ready to kill themselves, ready to commit suicide, ready to give up, ready to give in. And you can take that word of God. Hey, preacher, why won't you take Dr. Phil or Oprah or somebody? Man, I don't want to take them when somebody's in trouble. I want to take the word of God, amen, because that word of God, it'll get down into the soul, it'll get down into the spirit, and it'll get down into that body and give you health when you need it. He said it gets down into the bone and down into the marrow as we even speak. I see, number one, that the word of God, what does it do? It changes a person all the way about them. It changes them. I can tell my wife this. Me and her, we can be doing something. And she'll say, where are you going? I say, I'm going to the bedroom. Where are you going there for? I say, I'm going to go read my Bible. I used to hate to read. You ever been there? Hated to read. It'd be 6-7 o'clock in the evening. I'd go in my bedroom, lay down across the bed and start reading the Bible. Why? Man, when I get down and out, David, one thing raises me up. And that's that word of God. When I get in that book. Let me show you this tonight. He said, number one there, the necessity of the preached word of God. Number one, because the word of God changes people. But number two, the word of God continues inside of a person. Not only does it change, but it continues on the inside of a person. Look with me in verse 43. Here's where it continues in a person. As Jake's going to get baptized tonight, and he got saved the other day, there's going to be a continuation inside of him. Salvation is a one-time process, but the continuation of what it does inside of you, how it grows you and it does things in your life. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. You say, the word of God, when it changes me, what does it continue to do in my life after it saves me? Number one tonight, I'm going to give you three things that the Word of God continues to do in a person's life. If you've been saved for any time, you're going to know this tonight. Number one tonight, if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3 tonight and verse number 18, I want to show you this, how it continues in our life. How it continues. Number one tonight, it continues to grow us. It grows us in the areas that we need to grow in. Hey, when you first got saved, if you like me, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about the Word of God. I didn't know how to pray. All I knew was at one time I was going to hell, and now I'm going to heaven. Amen? That's all I knew. I had a Bible and a burden. I want to see people be saved. And here's what it does, that Word of God. It continues inside of a person. Number one, it continues to grow that person. Look what Peter said. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we grow, that word comes inside of a person and it grows them continuously in their life. But turn with me right there where you're at. If you'll turn with me to Colossians 1:10, not only does it continue to grow a person, but it continues to increase a person in their life. Colossians tonight, chapter number 1 and verse number 10, it will do this. Not only does it grow, but it will increase you in your walk with Christ. Tonight, if you say, preacher, I'm about where I was when I got saved, and I've been saved 20 years, the only advice I can give you is get in the Word of God. You'll never be no more than you are with whatever you do with the Word. You want more power? Get in the Word. You want more strength? Get in the Word. You want more wisdom? Get in the Word. You want more knowledge? Get in the Word. Whatever you need from God, get in that book, and that book will give it to you. You study that book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look with me in Colossians 1:10 tonight. I want to show you this. Here it is. It continues to grow us. It continues to increase us. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. So that word of God, it increases you. What does it increase you with? It increases you in the knowledge of God and what He'd have you to do. Let's move on to the next point. Number one, it continues to grow, continues to increase.
But in 1 Peter 2:2, it continues to produce a desire inside of you. It continues to produce a desire inside of you. 1 Peter, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 2, and verse number 2. 1 Peter 2:2. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to tell you why people burn out in Christianity. The lack of the Word of God. The lack of the Word of God. I'll tell you why church members burn out. They're not reading the Word of God. I'll tell you why preachers burn out. They're not reading the Word of God. Deacons are burning out because they're not reading the Word of God. Lay people are burning out because they're not reading the Word of God. They're not growing. They're not reading it. And you say, preacher, how do you know that tonight? If you do not digest this enough, you will burn out. You've got to put the Word in every day. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday will not feed you what you need. It will not give you what you need. It's got to be a daily ingestion of the Word of God. Daily took in on your own. Nobody forcing you. Nobody making you. You taking that Word in. If you want to grow and do what God has called you to do in your walk, look with me. 1 Peter 2:2, the Word of God, it continues to produce a desire. Look with me. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The only way that I'm going to grow in my Christian life is by the Word of God. That Word of God is what feeds me. As we go back to our text tonight, we see number one, preaching the Word of God is necessity. Number one, because the Word of God changes people. Number two, the Word of God continues inside of a person. But number three, the Word of God commands us to do something when we take it in. When you take that Word and you put it in, it commands you to do something. Look with me in verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded. There it is. He has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. There's two things that I know the Word of God commands us to be once we're a born again child of God and we're reading that book. Number one, it commands us to be a light. That's what he says. He commands us to be a light. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I see, number one, it commands us to be a light. But number two, it commands us to love. It commands us to be a light, but the Word of God commands. Light is in the Word of God. The more I stay in that Word of God, the brighter light I'm going to be. Do you know this tonight? On our pool deck at home, me and Brandy built that thing, and we did an okay job. No carpenter come over there because you'd find every error we got. But we bought some solar lights and put on the pool deck, and it talked about how we're the light of the world, and we're a city is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And them solar lights, they don't, when it's bright outside, they're useless. You don't see them very much. You'll see them, but there's no light coming out of them. And I'll go up there and put my hand over and make sure they're still working and make sure you got to have darkness to make it shine. Y'all get that? Well, every night when them things, when it gets dusk dark, they still don't come in. And I'm like, man, them things should be on now. It's dusk dark. But when it gets pitch black dark, them lights pop on, Brother Jerry. And every time I look out there, I think about Christian people. You know when we shine the brightest? When everything around us is the darkest. When everything around us is pitch black and it's dark, and people say, man, this world's wicked. Man, this world's awful. Man, our government says, man, God is on the throne. Man, I'm more happier now than I ever been. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, the world, it ain't changed hardly none that I can see. So, old preacher, man, it was pretty bad back 20 years ago. It was pretty bad back then. And it's still bad, but listen, that light shines. And you say, well, there ain't no good people left. Oh, yeah, it is. You let it get dark and see who sticks out. You let it get dark and see who sticks up like an old sore thumb. It'll have to come on every time. And when it gets dark in your life, if you're a child of God, that light's going to come on. When darkness gets around you, the old devil gets around you, he gets tempting you and wanting you to stop reading that Word of God, I want you to know that light will come on the inside and you'll be right back where you need to be. But that's the same way. Number one, he commands us to be a light. But number two, he commands us to love. If your light ain't coming on, you ain't going to love. Why do they leave a light on? Because they love you. If your light don't come on, it's going to be hard to love the next man. It's going to be hard to love the next person. He said, preacher, are you sure it's a command to love? When you read that word, you'll see, number one, you're commanded to be a light. And number two, you're commanded to love. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter number 15 and verse number 17. Commanded to be a light and commanded to love. Look with me, if you will, to John 15, verse 17. And this is what Jesus said. Preaching the Word of God is a necessity because it changes people. It continues to grow that person, and it's a command on our life. John 15, 17, here's what the Bible says. Read this with me, if you will. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, who is that guy I'm supposed to love? The person loves me back? No. The person that I like and they look? No. You love everybody. You love them. The hardest thing to do is to be a light and to love people. We'll give you the last thing and we'll close and be ready. Number one, the Word of God changes people. The Word of God continues in a person. The Word of God commands a person. But this is what I really like. The Word of God will carry a person. It'll carry you when you're at your lowest level. It'll carry you when you're at the bottom of the bottom. It'll carry you when everybody else is nowhere around. That Word of God will carry you. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? Let me show you. Look with me in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the Word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. What'd they do? They kicked them out because of what they was preaching. They was preaching grace. They was preaching right here eternal life. They was preaching that everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Said, Jews, you don't want this. You want to live by the law. You want to live under the law. Said, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. We're going to preach to them this grace that I'm talking about. And that's where they turn to. And the Word of God will carry you when nobody wants you. Look what he says. And Paul and Barnabas expelled them out of their coast, but they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Said, preacher, what would the Word of God? It'll carry a person when persecution comes. When persecution comes your way, it'll carry you. When pain comes your way, the Word of God will carry you. Have you ever been riding down the road and there'd be a church sign and you read it and it'd be exactly what you needed? Maybe on your phone somebody will send you a text, it'd be exactly what you needed. Be dead on the money. I mean, just boom, the Word of God will carry you. Me and Brandy, I done told this probably, I don't know. Me and Brandy, we had a situation going on and we'd been praying and praying, didn't know really what to do. And we got in this altar right here on a Sunday night service and we got down and we prayed. Me and her got down. We prayed. And we said, Lord, whatever your will is, it will do it. Whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. But we're not very smart, so you're going to have to give us something that we can hold on to know it's you. Next morning I get up, I ain't heard from my brother-in-law, Brian Reeves, in probably since Christmas. We talk Christmas, Thanksgiving, birthdays, you know, holiday, you know how it is. And that morning he sent me a text. And he said, man, I don't know if you've heard this lately. I don't know if you know it. I don't even know if you know this guy. But he said, I want to send you this song for you to listen to. And it was Not For Sale. Just what we had been praying on what we should do in a certain situation. And he sent that. And he said, I don't want to, man, that's a song I've listened to all my life since I've been saved, Not For Sale. And he said, preacher, what did that do? That gave me confirmation. Was that all you needed? I didn't need nothing else. I'd prayed for it and it was exactly hit, exactly where it was at. So tonight, the Word of God will carry a person when persecution comes, pain comes, the Word of God will keep you. So how will it carry you, preacher? I want to give you a few things here in the text, how it'll carry you. Number one, it'll carry you in verse 48 with gladness. You'll have gladness as you walk this walk of life for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You won't be down and out. You won't be long-lipped. You won't be none of that. You'll be glad. He said they were glad and they glorified the Word of the Lord. You'll want to glorify what God's doing in your life. And look here. And here's what happens when you get in the Word of God. Has your joy ever been depleted? Have you ever felt like your joy is just over with? Man, I have no joy. I have no peace. Maybe me and you are the only one that ever feels like it. Have you ever, man, no joy. It don't matter where you go, what you do, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no nothing. And you're looking for joy in all the wrong places. You're wanting to be filled with joy. You want to be filled up with joy, and you want to be, man, if I could just be happy, if I could just have joy in my life. So how are you going to get that, preacher? Only from the Word of God. That's that hole and that void that's inside of every person. And it's that Word of God, because that's God speaking to your life. And when you get saved, it's that Word of God that keeps growing you. It keeps changing you. It keeps commanding you to do things. And it carries you. Look what he says in the last verse of the text. Look what he says. And the disciples were, because they heard the Word of God, they shook it off. People didn't want to hear it. They shook it off, went on. And the disciples were filled with what? Joy. Filled with joy. And when you, Brother John, you nailed it. And when you get full of joy, you'll be, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the best friend you ever had. I don't know how many friends you got in life. I've heard it said one time, if you can count them on one hand, you better go back, because probably one hand is too many. But I tell you one person that's the best friend you ever had if you're saved, and that's the Holy Ghost. When your joy, but when Satan has your joy depleted and has you pulled down, you'll overlook that Holy Ghost. You won't listen to him, you won't obey him, or none of them things. The other day I told you about my dog went down there and got his ear ripped off. I mean ripped off. He wanted to go against the grain and go the wrong way. And I even got a collar on him that you beat and buzz him, and I mean it'll shock him real good, you know? And it always brings him back home. But as much as I was warning him and shocking him, making him, wanting him to turn around so he didn't get in trouble, he wouldn't listen. He overrun it to go do what he wanted to do. Can I say to you tonight, here's what the Word of God does. It warns you. Amen. It beeps you. Beep, beep. It shocks you sometimes. You hear it like, whoa. But you know what we do in old stinking flesh? When we want something, we keep going and we'll even overrun the Holy Ghost. When we want it so bad, we don't care who it hurts, when it hurts them, what's going on, we go overrun it and get our way. And our joy is depleted. And you know what we do? We do like my old dog did. When I hollered at him to come back, when I finally got him back up to the top of the hill, and that's how we do. We cower down and come back. And all we hear is the grace of God say, I love you. I'm here for you. That word's here for you to change you, to continue to grow you. Man, it'll grow a person. You won't do the things you used to do when you get in that word and you understand that word. It'll grow that person. And as it does that, it'll carry you right where you need to be. That word of God will never lead you in the wrong place. I'm going to finish out with this. Said this little boy was in high school and it was time for graduation. And said he came down to the end of the graduation time and they wanted to know what all was the best friend he had in school. And everybody was giving a list of the best friends they had in school. Everybody was standing up and said, this was my best friend, this was my best friend, this was my best friend. And that little boy stood up and he said, I've been mistreated all my life. Made fun of all the way through school. But there's been one friend that's always stayed true. And several of the kids look around thinking, that's going to be me. You know, I'm going to be that one. Maybe I did something. And he said, his name is Jesus. He always stayed true. And he always stayed my friend. They said when the little boy sat down, the Holy Ghost just fell all over that place. And several of them kids started crying out and asking Jesus to come into their life. Because they wanted to know that best friend. Let me tell you how you can know that friend tonight. By the Word of God. He said, preacher, I'll find it. You won't find him nowhere else. You won't find him nowhere else. You can look high and you can look low. But it's because faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. It may be through a song the Word of God comes to you. It may be through a prayer. It may be through a person. I don't know how it comes to you. But I know it comes by that Word. If any preacher ever tells you, man, I found something new, you get away from them. They ain't nothing new. The Bible says there's nothing else written. That's it. It's been penned down, been wrote down. There's nothing new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord God, I thank you that you're the best friend I ever had. Lord, I thank you tonight that you change a person. The Word of God, when it's preached, it changes a person. Father, I thank you for that. Father, it continues to grow inside that person and it does a mighty work inside of them. And Father God, tonight, when we get to that place in our life where we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, it'll carry us all the way where we need to be. And Lord, I thank you tonight that that word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will not. It'll always stand true. What's wrong in the Bible is still wrong. What's right in the Bible is still right. Father, tonight, no matter what this world goes through or what it does, right's right and wrong's wrong. And the Bible's always right. I thank you for that tonight. I pray you bless your people. I pray you watch over them tonight. Have your will and way in their lives. And Lord, I pray if there's one in here tonight and their joy is just on bank empty, ain't got no joy, I pray tonight that they get some joy before they leave this place. I pray that Holy Ghost fills that joy up. And Lord, I pray tonight you have your will and way. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen.